This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 17th episode of my AppForce One podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenerts and I've been developing software for over 18 years, iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch Cocoaheads for over 7. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about otherwise. Now take a breath and I will slow down. In this episode, I'm going to talk about what's new in Swift 5.4, integrating SwiftUI bindings and combine. XCT expect failure, expected test failures, explained with code examples. Creating an iOS bar chart in code using Swift. Passing methods as SwiftUI view actions. And part 4 in the series building lists and navigation in SwiftUI. On top of that, Sam will be back in my episode again and we will share some tips on preparing for your tech interview if you are searching for an iOS job. Cocoaheads NL will have another nice meetup this month. A progress update on the core data workshop from Donnie, Walsh and me. And I reached my first set of podcasting goals. My initial goals were to reach about 200 downloads for each episode in the first 7 days, get 300 subscribers on Twitter, and make sure that I release an episode every week. It took me 10 days longer than I aimed for, but on all three fronts I was able to achieve my goals. I have some ideas on what my next set of goals should be, but please let me know what you think I should aim for. I have bookings for interview guests all the way into May. I'm still always looking for great guests to appear on my podcast, so if you know someone or you think you're a nice guest, or a great guest actually yourself, please reach out to me on Twitter at AppForce1. The consistent feedback I'm getting from people who listen to my podcast, especially if they have been a guest on my podcast, has been the quality of the recordings and the editing, which is kind of surprising to me because before October 2020, I have never done any audio editing in my life. And I think most of it is due to the tool choice that I did. I'm using Hindenburg Journalist Pro, and I must say that I was very fortunate that I picked this specific tool to do all my audio editing with. It's very easy to get into, but the amount of power features specific for audio editing voice recordings is pretty much amazing, really. So if you ever look into picking a tool for audio editing, definitely give Hindenburg Journalist Pro a try. And the funny thing is, they don't even have an affiliate program. So what I just told you is pretty much because I like this tool so much. But I'm on a tangent now, so let's get started. There's no denying that What's New in Swift 5.4 by Paul Hudson is a great write-up of what's new in the latest Xcode beta. Definitely have a read of this article to update yourself on everything that is new in the latest Swift version. And don't forget to update yourself to the latest Xcode beta. One tip though, the latest Xcode version requires macOS Big Sur. Joseph Heck has a nice write-up on using SwiftUI bindings and combine. SwiftUI bindings and combine are two very distinct technologies available in any SwiftUI app. In his article, Joseph discusses the difference between bindings and combine and how you can actually interact between these two. It's a great write-up if you want to learn a little bit more about all the internal workings of a SwiftUI component and how it actually obtains its data. Antoine van der Lee has an article on XCT expect failure. XCT expect failure was introduced in Xcode 12.5 and allows marking test failures as expected. Yes, you interpreted that correctly. It's actually a way to mark a unit test in Xcode as you expecting it to fail. Imagine that, a unit test failing, but it's okay. Antoine explains what could be an actual use case for this and how this feature exactly works. Rob Kerr has a article on creating an iOS bar chart in code using Swift. In his post, he will describe how you can actually create a simple bar chart in code and add it to a default UI view controller. The advantage of reading this article is that you will learn that it's not that complicated actually to create a simple graph in Swift. Too often on projects, you see that people immediately grab for a third-party dependency like charts, which is great, but do you actually need all the weight of this third-party dependency? Simple graphs you can just do in code without the support of any third-party libraries. John Sundell has an article on passing methods as Swift UI view actions. Passing methods in Swift is nothing new really, but it is a feature of Swift that is often overlooked. The fun thing is that passing methods is actually a very viable way to create view actions implementations. The advantage of this is that the action implementation is now embedded in a function, and this function is a well-defined piece of functionality that most likely has a good chance of being unit-tested. Sarun has a nice part 4 in his series Building Lists and Navigation in Swift UI. Sarun provides a nice overview of what navigation actually is in Swift UI and what options you have available and how you can actually apply all these different options. It's a long form article that's basically a great tutorial on navigation in Swift UI. I'm sitting here with Sam again, and we just finished up simulating a technical interview. And Sam, any specifics that you can take away from what we just did?
There were specific issues within my code that we talked about, and I have specific takeaways about those. But I would say general takeaways. I think I need to practice my approach in explaining things, and I think I need to really deep dive into my project and be prepared to answer a question about any line of code that's within my code base. And I think I was able to answer most of your questions fairly effectively, at least the basic level for most of your questions, to get the general answer that you were looking for.
We actually are doing this for a reason, because quite soon you will have your second interview. You try to prepare to that to the best of your abilities. So any big surprises for you in the exercise that we just did?
I wouldn't say there were any huge surprises, something that had me completely caught off guard. There were a few things where off the get-go, I hadn't exactly thought about them. So I had to use critical thinking and kind of think on the spot a little bit, which I imagine is going to happen in my actual interview as well. There weren't any huge surprises in that sense, because, for example, in my code base, there are a few things that I've used from online resources like Stack Overflow for simpler things that weren't actually written by myself. And there's also some pods I used. But the other, and that's maybe 10% of my code, but the other 90%, I would say I have a strong grasp on in general, and I can explain what's going on. And there's maybe a few little instances there where I have to kind of think on my feet. For the most part, I think I know what's going on in the project.
There's probably a lot of people that are also trying to get to a junior iOS developer position. Any recommendations that you could give them about this specific aspect of trying to get there? And then the aspect that I'm talking about is the tech interview.
I would say one of the biggest things I've learned during this whole process, or I've learned is important, is just the ability to verbally express your understanding of a topic. You may be able to, you may understand it in your own head, but being able to explain what's going on in your own words is important, and it's good practice for you. And you're going to have to do it during the interview. And it's not something like when I first started preparing for these interviews, it's something I told myself would be easy in my head. And then I started practicing it. I was like, okay, well, it's clear I need some practice on this. So I would say that was probably one of the biggest things I've learned during this process.
Only thing that's left to do is wish you best of luck on your first tech interview, and let's hope for the best and see what happens.
Thank you.
On February 17th, the CocoaHead SNL will have another one of its online meetups. This time they will have Ryan McLeod, the developer of Black Box, a refreshing oppressive puzzle game, presenting at their meetup. It's a puzzle game that uses all kinds of sensor features of the iOS platform. There's a lot of different things you can actually detect going on with the device. Black Box Puzzles makes full use of all these features. So I expect this to be a very interesting talk on all kinds of technical features of iOS devices. Donnie and I are gaining some traction with the Core Data workshop that we are organizing. We're selling our first tickets, and we don't have a lot of tickets available actually, so make sure you get yours in time. appforce1.net/coredata. It's a first time for Donnie, and I've done this a couple times before, so I took my old notes and started sharing with Donnie how you actually do something like this. And with Donnie's expertise and my expertise combined, I think this will be a great day for those attending the workshop. The biggest question, of course, is why should you join this workshop? Well, if you want to use Core Data and you like the stuff that Donnie actually writes with his books, this is the perfect opportunity to get information from the source, ask questions that are specific to your situation so that you can apply what you learned not next week, but right after the workshop itself. And of course, it does help that you will learn what a cool technology the Core Data Framework actually is on the Mac and iOS platforms. So one final time, appforce1.net/coredata. Look there, sign up, join us. And the best part is, we only need to finish up creating the content, sell a few more tickets, and that's pretty much it, really. Of course, creating the content is a big job, and it's the most important job of a workshop like this. But rest assured, we will get this done, and we will have some time to spare. And then I'm at the final part of this episode. I don't have any time to spare. The Monday morning tweet I'm skipping this week, but I will make sure to link it from the show notes so that you can have a look at it yourself. And I look forward to seeing you, talking to you next week. And remember, on Thursday, I think there will be a very interesting episode available with two people from my own history, actually. Nandini Chauhan and Pim Stolk will be on an interview with me about the work that we did together on the ING banking app. So make sure to pick up that episode on your podcast player and have a listen. And please let me know what you think and send me any feedback that you might have. You can do that through Twitter, and my handle there is appforce1, and that's a numeral 1 at the end. Talk to you next week. I think I'm getting the hang of this, maybe. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.